Hello everyone, Leslie here. Before we get into our show today, we have a contest. We're giving away 5 Blu-ray copies of the movie that we're talking about today, Promising Young Woman, which is out on Blu-ray and digital now. It stars Carey Mulligan, who was nominated for an Oscar for her role, as was writer-director Imward Fennell for Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, and Best Picture. So, Shannon and I really like the movie. Our review is a little bit spoiler-filled. If you want to jump to about 20 minutes in, we have our spoiler-free virtual interviews. But if you want to win a copy of the movie, all you have to do is go to our Twitter page, twitter.com/strugglesesh, and just retweet our pinned tweet, which will be about this episode and the movie. If for some reason you don't have a Twitter account, you can send me an email at thestrugglesession@gmail.com. Just put in the title, Promising Young Woman. U.S. only on the contest. Promising Young Woman, out on Blu-ray now with special features, including a feature-length director's commentary. You'll love to see that. Well, hello everyone. Welcome to Struggle Session. I'm Leslie III. And today we are talking about a new romantic comedy thriller. Promising Young Woman was nominated for some Golden Globes and got nominated for some Academy Awards. And so we're going to be doing our review of the film. And also, and this is very special, Shannon, I think this might be a first in podcasting history. So we were scheduled to do an interview with one of the stars of the film. We're not going to say who, unfortunately, because they just were not available. You know how it is. Crazy. And when you're a big time podcaster mixing with big time Hollywood people, you know, like sometimes wires get crossed, people are double booked. We couldn't make it happen, but the production company was able to send us this very interesting thing, right? So they told us that they were going to send us digital facsimiles of 2 of the creators of the film, fully functioning AIs that can answer any question that we have for them digitally. It's a first of its kind, and you will be hearing those virtual interviews later on in the podcast. But I don't know about you, Shannon, but I'm very excited for this opportunity.
It's really crazy what they can do with AI today, you know, like how far technology has come.
So we're going to have the director, Imran Fennell, as well as star of the film, Carey Mulligan, the digital facsimile versions of them, the replicants. Is replicant a slur?
I don't know if it's technically a slur. I don't think that they would want to be called replicants.
They might not want to be called. We might get called out for it.
We can learn and be better.
We'll ask them their cybernetic designations when we get to it. Very excited for that opportunity. But first, let's talk about this movie, Promising Young Woman. And I do want to say spoilers kind of do matter on this movie, and we will be talking a few spoilers. Mm-hmm. All right, so Shannon, what did you think about Promising Young Woman?
I know a lot of people that I like follow hated it, and I didn't know how I would feel about it or if I would just find it too depressing. I think towards the beginning, some of the dialogue and the sort of girl boss stuff she does is a little silly and a little too much for me. But otherwise, I kind of loved it. I liked it a lot. It's not a happy movie. I think people responded negatively because it is kind of bleak about how you can try to fight back against like rape culture and how to act within Me Too stuff. But maybe it's just how cynical or sad I am, but I really liked it.
Yeah, I feel like the ending like would turn off a lot of people because it is a very dark ending. But it's the type of ending that like I expected actually to be darker, if anything, some of the things they had set up. Because this movie, it is in a lot of different worlds. Like you mentioned the girl boss thing. I kind of looked at it as like it felt like a very, almost like a satire of Obama era, like comedies, like The Hangover or Bridesmaids. It felt like that very kind of hyper clean, yuppie, like return of the yuppie-ish, late, you know, pre-Trump era type send-up. Stuff like The League, all these, like, you know, they all take place in like almost suburban Chicago type shows and stuff. And it was kind of a parody of that. But then when you get more to the meat of the movie, it becomes like a Hitchcockian thriller for a lot of the movie. And it felt like two different movies, but I really like the Hitchcock stuff a lot more than I like kind of the Hangover Bridesmaid stuff. Even though they were tied together pretty well by the end, well, a version of this movie that I really would be over the moon for would be like a shorter, tighter thriller version of the movie with a little bit less of the comedy. But I actually think by the end they do tie it together pretty well.
I think it does work. It wasn't too jarring, but it is weird to have scenes where, like, even earlier on, Alfred Molina is, like, crying because he regrets what he did so much as, like, a lawyer for rapists. And then it cuts to, like, Laverne Cox as the sassy black best friend in the cafe talking to her. Like, the back and forth between those sort of, like, almost different cinematic worlds that it's pulling from was a little bit jarring. But I think it worked the best with Bo Burnham. Because, like you said, with spoilers, he's just like this, like, really goofy, kind of charming, kind of annoying guy. And then by the end, it's like, oh, he was completely complicit in this horrible thing that happened.
Yeah, like, you know, I don't know a lot about Bo Burnham, but he does not seem like a person who would ever be in the movie that I would want to watch. But he is like very good in this, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, very good. Is this like one of his first, like, films? Because I know he's more of like a personality, a YouTuber, like musician, stand-up person, right? Does he do a lot of acting?
Well, recently he wrote and directed the movie Eighth Grade, which is about like being in middle school. It stars like, it's like about a little girl, and kind of spoilers for Eighth Grade, it does go into sort of dark, not straight up sexual assault stuff, but it does deal with how horrible that experience can be, and that's sort of a part of like his stand-up too. Like male predation, I guess, or just exploring that. So some of it, like, I could not stand him when I was in high school because he and I are about the same age, and I think he's gotten a lot better, but I can't think of anything he's acted in that would be as good or serious as this, and I hope he can get more roles. But I would recommend Eighth Grade. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, like, he really seems like the most annoying guy you would think in this movie, but he ends up giving like having like a real like arc and character, and like you feel kind of sorry and really bad for him at certain points, and you're on his side, and then it shifts like entirely, and you see that character shift his behavior now that his perception has been changed. That is really like, there's a lot of strong stuff in here. I really like just thought it was a really good film. If anything, I just feel like you could do a lot of addition to this film with subtraction. Like a 90-minute version of this movie, I think, would be a really tight, scary, tense thriller throughout, because there really are some like really good scenes, like some really good shots and some really tense scenes too. And it's not that the comedy is bad. I actually think I laughed out loud at a lot of the jokes, but it actually kind of took me away from the horror and the creepiness to be enjoying the silly jokes so much.
I think the jokes that melded well with that were really depressing ones towards the end, with like the rapist's best friend and how kind of pathetic they are.
Oh,
and
yeah,
how he covers for him and stuff. I like that kind of dark humor and stuff like this. But yeah, compared to that, the, like you said, the Hangover type stuff earlier,
yeah,
on,
the dark humor
is
was good, but but kind of the Hangover-y type jokes. But I really just ended up liking this movie a lot more than I expected, especially when you got to see her Cassie, the character, become basically kind of like the Joker in the mill. This movie was produced by Margot Robbie, and there's a like almost like a homage to Harley Quinn in this movie, and it gets like really dark. She kind of becomes a villain, But at a certain point, the film kind of pulls back from that, where she's not really doing the thing she's doing. She's not actually killing people. She's not actually setting up people for horrific acts of revenge. She's just kind of making the threats. And when I was watching, I was kind of thinking, I kind of wish that she did go through it. I wish this was, she really did cross that line from being a justified person looking for justice to crossing the line to revenge. Like you see in, older, like, 70s movies, films like Lady Prisoner Scorpion 701, where she starts off as, like, this victim of circumstance, sexual violence, and patriarchy. But then she, in her quest for revenge, she crosses the line from victim to victimizer. And I kind of would like to see more of that in this movie.
I think it is, like, her dad points out to her, like, they've missed their daughter because she's just been so consumed in this. And it's very sad, but ultimately, she's just a victim throughout that entire movie. Like, the way she gets her revenge is, like, kind of an ultimate victimhood. And I liked it, and I kind of understood what it was saying. I think that might be the reason that people really didn't like this movie or responded very negatively to it.
It looks so modern in the beginning, like, very modern romantic comedy filmmaking in the beginning, that you sort of lose the fact that it is trying to feel more like a Joker, where it's harkening back to the gritty 70s films where, yes, the protagonist might die 15 minutes before the end for no particular reason, and you just have to deal with that. And that's basically kind of what happens at the end here, and a really brutal scene where you see this character whose head you've lived in for all this time be suffocated to death in a realistic time frame. Like, it's like 3 or 4 minutes, and it's a really, like, brutal, over the top, deliberately so scene where this character just gets snuffed out and you don't see her face again. Like, you've been staring at her face the whole time. You've been looking at her, and just she gets immediately, like, smushed out and erased, like, off frame, but still in a very visceral way. And I wish there was more of that visceral violence earlier on, and I wish she had gotten to inflict some of it. She inflicts, you know, some very visceral threats, like that when she threatens the dean's daughter, things like that, what she does to Madison. It feels very visceral, but then they pull back from that. And I wish there was just more of that visceral horror and violence that she got to do before she got snuffed out like that.
Like, she might not have even been planning to kill the guy. I think she was just going to carve her dead friend's name into his stomach.
Yes.
Is what would suggest. It's like, well, you could, like, maybe she could have got more hits in or, like, half killed him, because he just sort of panics and kills her. It's not even, and it's more realistic, I guess. He's really upset, but it's like, in a different movie, he might have been portrayed as more evil or, like, planning to kill her, or more deliberate or enjoying it. He's just, like, terrified because he knows he's caught, and he's, like, worried about his wedding, and then his best friend comes in and makes him feel better, which I did feel was, like, a little bit more realistic.
Kind of think you could take her scenes of her hunting men and that subplot. If you take that out of the movie, it's still the same movie. And I think kind of a better movie, where she ends up seeking the revenge only because she meets Bo Burnham, who happens to know the rapist, and that kind of sends her off on the revenge, as opposed to her already spinning these nights taking revenge out on random men. I wasn't quite sure what that added to the movie, except to maybe try to... It felt like it was trying to justify why she would take such extreme action later, but I just don't think it was needed. I don't think you need to set up that she was already stalking and hunting men and looking for men. But in those scenes, they do make the point that she's looking for the nice guys, not these, not the stereotypical, you know, jump dark back alley, you know, predator, the guy who knows what to say and how to cover his ass and how to cover himself and knows how to say all the right things that he can make it say, oh, no, it was perfectly consensual. I didn't do anything wrong. And how that sort of predator is taken care of by all the institutions, by the schools, by his friends, by, you know, even other women who were friends with the victims, like that, how that, you know, whole culture manifests itself.
She doesn't really even get revenge on them. She just kind of does it like an epic clapback and makes fun of them and then like leaves when they were physically, like some of them get their hands in her pants or whatever. Like she doesn't even try to get them fired or yeah. There aren't any real repercussions for it. And people who do stuff like that, I don't think that would be enough to stop them. She doesn't attack them. She doesn't really do it. That I think that's why when I talk about the girl boss stuff, it's like she'll just say something really smart alecky to them and make them feel bad and then just leave. And I'm like, well, that's kind of ineffectual in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going to do that, like she should be like you're supposed to think that she kills the first guy, Adam mm-hmm. Brody, I think. But it ends up not being the case. I'm like, yeah, she should be killing these guys already. Let's like American Psycho this up then. Like let's just...
at least stab him or like have the hallucination scene like in American Psycho where he puts the kitten in the ATM, like she stabs him and then comes. I don't know. I did like a lot the scene where she's first hanging out with Bo Burnham and it seems like he likes her a lot. Then he's like, do you want to come back to my apartment? And she gets inordinately upset, but you understand her motivation for it. Like the relationship when they start is like fun and complicated. And I liked everything with his character kind of turning out to be a coward. And not a great, but he also isn't played as like completely evil or like but it makes it a lot more realistic. It's like, oh, even the nice guys that you feel close to who themselves would not necessarily ever rape anybody or women who would never rape anybody do protect people who would. And he's like, yeah, I'll just go to his wedding. It's fine. Remember that guy? Ha ha.
When she shows him the video and he and forces him to like admit his pardon, he's like, I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? And she says, no. And it's like there's it does the conversation doesn't just stop at saying, oh, he's all these guys are hypocrites. And like they have chances to redeem themselves, like the lawyer sort mm-hmm. of does. She feels like he's redeemed himself. Madison, I don't know if she thinks she's redeemed in the movie, but she kind of lets her off the hook. The arrest ending is kind of a problem for this, where you just end up with the cops just arresting people because that's not how these things end. But I do think
even
the
with the video, they might not go to jail anyway. Yeah, like that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, but I think the film at least points towards something of some sort of justice outside of the legal system, where people actually make up for what they do to people and the harm they cause. And it's not just the worst actors, it's all the people who are complicit in it kind of try to own up and live up to it. At least it points to that, even though that's not where we end up by the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm. And if anything, at least his wedding got ruined. That's sort of, I guess, yes. more the purpose of the cops. One moment that stood out to me too, his like nasty best friend is like being gross about women at Bo Burnham at the wedding. And Bo Burnham is disgusted by him. And it's like, even though he's a terrible person, there's like degrees of terrible, or he's still consistent. I thought that was interesting too, that he just also didn't become slimy, or that these people have their own personalities within this system.
Yeah, usually in these type of movies, once you expose someone as the hypocrite, then he goes all full tilt evil. Mm-hmm. But they didn't do that in this movie. And it is more nuanced. The character, Bo Burnham's character, never just becomes a monster, you know. He's just like he becomes like, you see, like when he's pushed by Carrie, like he says something really awful and nasty to her, but you still get the sense that like he wants to still be with her and wants to find something else. That's why I also would have liked if she had gone further, where we show like her complete outright rejection of him is seen as her like because you see this in other kind of revenge movies too, where the revenger will befriend someone who might be on the other side of their revenge, and they feel betrayed in a way that's over the top, and then that sends them down this much darker path because then they have no one they can trust. I would like to see a little bit of that in this movie, just something a little bit more 70s, a little bit more, you know, schlocky. I think would have made this movie a little bit more fun, but as it is, I really, really did enjoy it, and it surprised me a lot. It was a ton of fun. I thought it was pretty funny for a very heavy subject matter. It had a lot of humor and a lot of dark humor too. It didn't have like necessarily cutesy humor to cover up the darkness. It had some pretty dark humor that really worked.
Yeah, I was talking to my friends about this movie, and it's like, even if you don't think you'll like it, you should check it out just to sort of be aware of it and think about it. It's really interesting in that way, and it's like definitely of this time. Like, it draws from 70s rape revenge movies, but it's of this time, and I think it's worth watching either. Even if, like, you might find some of the, dislike the same stuff I didn't like some of the earlier on humor, or find the ending too bleak, it's like, well, you should still watch it and check it out.
Yeah, yeah, I think this is a definitely a worthwhile movie. I enjoyed it a lot. And with that being said, let's get on to our interviews. All right, we're back and we're here with Emerald Fennell and Carrie Mulligan's facsimile digital representations here. And we're just going to ask them a couple of questions. We've been told that this is going to be a very natural process. This is going to be the new way that we're all going to be doing interviews soon. So I'm excited. And they told us they can answer absolutely any question we can think of, Shannon. So, Shannon, I know you're a film expert. I consider myself a film expert. So we're going to try to stump these AIs with questions that there's absolutely, positively no way that anything less than a fully sentient being could answer. And first question, what's your favorite scene in the movie?
My favorite scene to direct, I think, was one of the early scenes with Carey Mulligan and Adam Brody, because they're both such brilliant performers and it's such an important scene. It's the scene where he takes her home. And it was just brilliant, because how I sort of described it to Adam was, you think you are the hero of a romantic comedy and you think this is the beginning of a huge romance and you're going to play the scene of romantic comedy even though the woman you're talking to is barely able to string a sentence together. And I think that's what's so astonishing and shocking about this stuff, is that for so many people they have lost sight of where the boundaries are so far that actually they don't know anymore, or they've failed to interrogate anymore how abusive their behavior is. And so watching Adam Brody play a romantic hero and kiss Carey incredibly passionately, with a kiss that he you know, leans back and says, wow, as though it was, you know, the beginning of the love affair of the century, while Carey brilliantly sort of sat sardonically playing drunk, was, I think that kiss is really something that sort of encapsulates the whole film, really, which is that it is shocking and grotesque and also horribly funny and familiar.
I think one of the first scenes that I ever shot with Bo was our first scene together, where I spit in his coffee. And on the first couple of takes, I was spitting in his coffee and he was actually drinking it, which I don't know if he totally kind of clocked until about three takes in. So that was a pretty quick bonding, very pre-COVID experience. But yeah, I mean, there were so many. We just had the most amazing cast coming in, so I feel like every day was memorable. But the dinner table scene with Jennifer Coolidge and Clancy Brown, where Beau's character comes over for dinner, was one of the most hilarious days of work I've ever done. And the whole crew couldn't keep it together when Jennifer was improvising, because the stuff that she was coming out with was just some of the funniest dialogue I've ever heard, most of which has not been able to make it into the film. So that was a pretty fun day.
For Carey, why did you take this role?
I mean, I suppose it was sort of a pretty selfish decision at first. I just wanted to play this part, and I wanted to be a part of Emerald's vision. So I think the character was so enticing that the sort of wider story was sort of an afterthought initially. But getting to prepare for the film and be part of conversations with Emerald about the film just got me so excited for this story to be told in this way through Emerald's very unique vision.
And yes, Carey, again, what was it like working with Emerald?
Well, we learned from each other working on this project that we had already worked together. That was something that we hadn't even remembered until we were about 2 weeks into filming. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like, you know, watching Emerald at work was so amazing, because, you know, she was a first-time feature filmmaker, but looking at her on set, she could have directed 15 films before that. She was just absolutely in command of what she was doing. So I think I learned that directing is incredibly hard and you have to be insanely talented to pull it off the way that Emeril did. But I think, you know, the great thing about our relationship was that we came into this friends already. And I respect her so much and felt so comfortable being directed by her and had so much faith in her that it was a very, very easy relationship on set. And I think those relationships make films better. I think when people are comfortable, they do better work. And Emeril definitely made an incredibly inviting, warm, and friendly set.
Okay, Emeril, we have one more question for you. Why is Promising Young Woman a must-own film?
Well, it's not really for me to say why Promising Young Woman is a must-own film. I mean, obviously, I'm fairly biased. But I do think if you love movies as much as I do and you want to, you know, watch something over and over again, like I do, to see the details and the care taken by every department, everyone who worked on this film was so diligent and so imaginative that I think it does, you know, it does stand up to multiple viewings. And, you know, certainly the movies that I love, I like to own so I can watch them or at least watch parts of them. So yes. And also, you know, I think the cover is tremendous, so it will at least look nice in your apartment.
Shannon, I'm impressed. I didn't think they would get that last one. That last one especially.
Yeah, I tried to ask the tough questions, but they came through.
I'm shocked by this brave new world we're in, but thank you so much for listening to Struggle Session. Have a good one.
Y'all take care.